Do you know what the Bible says about the Christian life? It really is simple. It's one headline. Not very complicated. Just one message, really. The Christian life is the cross. The cross of Jesus is the throne of the universe. This is one place where you'll find safety. Satan knows as long as you are on that cross, he cannot touch you. But the minute you come off the cross, he'll destroy you. That's why he offered Jesus a crossless life. He came to him in the temptation and said, I'll give you the world. You do not have to die. I'll just give it to you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. The devil came again through Peter in Matthew 16 and said, no, no, you don't go there. In fact, Peter rebuked him. Imagine rebuking the Lord for wanting to go to the cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. But the devil didn't stop, because he came again when Jesus hung on the cross and said, if you're the Son of God, come off the cross. Because the devil will try and try and try again to cause you to walk away from the cross, the Christian life. Jesus said, no man can come after me if he doesn't carry his cross and follow me. And the cross is death. I have been a Christian since 1972, February 14th, 7:50 in the morning, I got saved. And over the years, Satan has done the same. He's come to offer me a crossless life. But I also know the danger out there that you face. We all face it. The world is calling us from all directions. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not he that just goes halfway. You have to go all the way. The Lord in Luke chapter 8 talked about seed falling on four different grounds. First, seed fell outside the fence. Now, I'm going to help you understand this. In the Holy Land where I come from, the fence they build around a little piece of farm where they sow seed. They actually build it with rock. They take little rocks and they pile them over each other. And if you go to Israel today, you'll see a lot of little rocks that form little fences, especially around Jerusalem. So the Lord was speaking about the sower going out sowing seed. And he said, some fell by the wayside. The wayside means outside the fence, outside where the rocks are. Others fell on the rock, meaning on the fence itself. Others fell on thorny grounds, and the thorny grounds are right next to the rocks on the other side, inside. The wayside is outside the rock is the fence. Next to the rock on the inside of the actual property or ground where they sow seed, they don't clean that area, so there's thorns. So he said, some fall on thorns and some fall on good ground. Good ground is the majority. Now here's what happens. And the disciples said, what does this mean? He says, well, the sower, of course, the seed is God's word. The sower is God. The seed that fell on the wayside are those, so it represents people, are those who hear the word, but before they can receive the word, the devil comes and steals it. The second crowd are those, like the rocks, where the seed falls on the rock, but because there's no soil, no depth, there's nowhere for it to go, so it withers away. Those are the people who hear the word, receive the word, but no depth is in them. Therefore, it's lost. The third crowd are those who receive the word. They hear it, receive it, and in fact, Jesus used the word and go forth, meaning they begin living the Christian life. But when the cares of this life and the riches of this life come along, they choke the word. But then there's the fourth crowd who hears it, receives it, they go forth, but because it's good ground, they bear fruit. Which one are you? What part of the crowds are you? What group do you belong to? There are millions of people who have gone, millions have gone to hear Billy Graham. Millions have heard the gospel on television. They hear it, but do not receive it. They are the ones that the seed falls on the wayside. There are many others, millions like them, who receive, they hear and receive, but there's no depth. And they lose the word of God. There's millions who go to churches today who have heard and received and went forth. But when trials and temptations come along and the riches of this world come along, they choke the life of the gospel in them. And precious people of God, I want you to know there are four different crowds in this world. And only a third makes it. I wonder, are you in that third? Because the majority lose. That's what Jesus said. Heaven is a real planet. They say, I don't know if this is totally accurate, but they say something like 150,000 or just over that die in the world every few minutes. 150,000 people die every few minutes in this world. While I've been talking, hundreds of thousands of people have died. Where have they gone? Heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. I know today preachers, some of them, not all of them, but some of them don't preach on hell because they don't want to offend people. But the Bible clearly states there is a hell. Jesus very clearly told us in the Gospels that the rich man went to Sheol, hell, and was tormented in the flames of hell. And in hell, the soul lives. In hell, in fact, the person is alive and can feel the flames of fire. Precious people, I don't know how long your finger would last in hot water. Have you ever tried it? I don't think you want to. If you take your finger and stick it in a boiling pot, you'll take it out quick because it'll hurt. Think about a whole body in flames forever. Have you ever thought about forever? That's a long time. In fact, our minds do not comprehend eternity. If you allow your mind to think about eternity, you'll have to put your hands over it and stop, because it does not compute. The mind, the brain of men and women does not understand infinity. So we never think about it. But if you ever think about, you'll never die. You will never die. Your body will die. You will never, ever, ever, ever die. Because the real you is not your body. The real you is inside this body. And you know something? You've never seen the real you. All you see is the shell you live in. So all you see is the shell. I've never seen Bruce. He's never seen me. All I see is the shell he lives in. He's never seen himself. He looks in the mirror every morning and sees the shell that's getting old. And me too, and you too. We see the shell we live in that's losing hair and getting old. We never see the real person. The only person who sees the real person is God. God sees the real you. Remember something, You are a spirit. You're not a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You're not a soul. You have a soul. And you live in a body. But you're a spirit. Have you ever eaten a peach? Sure. Look at the peach. It's a trinity. The actual fruit is the body. The shell, the little shell, is the soul. But inside that shell is the seed. That's the spirit. You are the spirit. You are a spirit. And your spirit is not a little ball floating in your tummy. Your spirit is a person with a face and eyes and ears, even hair. That's right, even hair. Because angels are spirits and they have hair. Hands and feet. Tonight, if my body dies while I'm preaching, first of all, don't come and resurrect me. Leave me alone. So if my body drops dead, please, for goodness sake, don't come pray over it. But if my body drops dead, I will walk out of it, walk away from it with a full body, and look back at it and see some preacher trying to resurrect it. Don't do it tonight. I don't need your help. In fact, if I die, I want to go and be with the Lord because that's what the Bible says. But the spirit is the person. Now that person is eternal. That person lives forever. The body is dust, just little dust. Now God promised that even the body one day will be resurrected. I was in Forest Lawn Cemetery a few days ago. I took Ron House and Ralph Wilkerson. We went to visit Catherine Kuhlman's grave. And you see the thousands and thousands of graves in Forest Lawn in Los Angeles. And Ralph said, I wonder what it would be like on resurrection morning. Because Amy Semple McPherson is buried there. And Catherine Kuhlman is buried not far from her. This is so funny about Catherine Kuhlman. You know, she was so touchy about her age that on the stone, it doesn't say when she was born. That was funny. Every time I go there, I laugh, I smile. I think she was so touchy about not wanting people to know her age. It does not say when she was born. It just says when she died. That's too much. But ladies and gentlemen, think about what it's going to be like on resurrection morning when the dead will be raised. Now, the spirit, that's the person. And the person, the real you, lives forever. This body one day will die, it'll go back to dust, and we believers have been promised that our bodies will be resurrected. And you're going to look just the way you look now. Except younger. Now, ladies and gentlemen, eternity is a long time. I've got to talk to you about this. And in eternity, eternal life Like I said earlier, that's a very long time. The saints, the scripture says, will go to heaven and be with Jesus. Heaven is a real planet. If you read the Bible, there's trees in heaven, palm trees, in fact, because they carry palms. There's mountains in heaven, because John stood on a high mountain. There's rivers in heaven, crystal water. There's animals in heaven, horses specifically. Maybe other animals, but the Bible mentions horses. We're going to come on white horses. You know what else there's in heaven? There's fruit. There's food. There's a temple in heaven where God sits in His mighty power and glory. And the scripture says very clearly, heaven is a real place. But so is hell. And hell is a place of torment. And here's the thing. We choose where to go. Nobody will make that choice for you. I tell people all the time, your mom and your dad chose whether you should come into this world. You had no choice on being born into this world. Your mom and dad made the choice for you. They brought you into this life. But into the next world, only you make that choice. Only you choose whether to enter into the next world. Not your mom, not your dad, not your grandma, not your grandpa. I tell my children, just because I'm a preacher, that does not in any way guarantee your salvation. Because you have to choose Jesus on your own, by yourself. It's your choice. God has no grandchildren. He only has children, no grandchildren. So we choose. This is our choice. Nobody is going to make heaven by accident. Nobody will make hell by accident. And hell is a real place. A place of torment. And when the great judgment comes, hell itself will be thrown into the lake of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. Forever. You say, I don't like to hear that. Oh, you need to hear that. Because I don't want you to go there. I'm trying to spare you from going there. Now, saints, there's only one guarantee, only one way you can go to heaven. The Bible is clear. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. I don't even care what Obama says or what Hollywood says. The Bible says. The Bible says. This is God's word. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he added, no man. No man means no man. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no man will ever go to the Father but by me. That's what he said. There's only one way to God, and his name is Jesus. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby we are saved. It's only through Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now the word of God, you see, people say, well, somebody said that to me one day, well, how do you know this is the real word of God? I said, fulfilled prophecy. The proof that this is God's word is fulfilled prophecy. There's no other. God proved to the world this is his word by fulfilling it. Every detail has been fulfilled about the coming of Jesus to the earth. Every detail fulfilled about the restoration of the nation of Israel. Every detail has been fulfilled about the present day we're living in. And there are many prophecies that are being fulfilled and will be completely fulfilled at the second coming. But the proof is prophecy fulfilled. God keeps his word. And you can stake your life on thus says the Lord. You have nowhere else to go. This is it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. It's not religion, it's not church, it's nothing else. No, 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 no. It's not even, hear this, it's not even your spirituality. How spiritual you are means nothing to God. It's Jesus. I was in an island not too far from South Africa named Mauritius. I've told the story, you need to hear this. We had 50,000 people in the stadium in every service. It was a gentleman, a young man, who picked me up at the hotel for the services. And we had three services, 3 days, and on the last day I was picked up to be taken to the airport. And this gentleman was driving the car. He was very quiet the whole time. I did not talk to him much, and I hardly ever talk before services with anyone anyways. And I just rode and was quiet as he took me to service. So after the crusade, on the way to the airport, I talked to him. I said, "What is your name?" He gave me his name, a very long name. I can't think even what his name was. I don't remember. And I said, "How did you enjoy the crusade?" "Oh," he said, "I was not there." I said, "What do you mean you were not there? You picked me up every day." "Oh, no," he said, "I sat in the car while you preached." I said, "Why would you sit in the car?" He said, "Because I am Hindu." I said, "You're Hindu?" And I said to him, "So they gave me Hindu to be a driver." But then I had a chance. We had another 20 minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes before we got to the airport. I said, "Listen, since you did not come to the crusade, I want to tell you about Jesus." So he listened very carefully. I said, "How many gods do you worship?" "Oh," he said, "millions." I said, "You have millions of gods?" He said, "Yes, sir, millions." I said, "Have any of them ever, ever, ever told you they care for you?" "No." "Have any one of those gods you worship, has any one of them ever said, 'I love you'?" He said, "No." I said, "Has any one of those gods ever once tell you that you're special to them?" "No." I said, "I'll tell you about the Lord I serve." And then I said this. I said, "Have any of your gods ever said these words to you? 'Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.' Have any of them promised you rest?" I said. He said, "Never." I said, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke those words." I said, "Do you even know of any philosopher or any leader of this world or in this world that ever said such words? 'Come unto me, all you who labor,'" and I kept repeating it, "'and are heavy laden,'" and I spoke real slow with him, "'and I'll give you rest.' Have any leader on this earth ever promised rest to you or anyone?" He said, "No." I said, "Jesus Christ is the only man that ever said such words." By this time, we're coming up to the airport. And just as we got there, he looked at me and said, "Pastor Benny, today I am becoming a Christian. And I'm here to tell you, no man has ever said such words to us except the Son of God. And this Jesus died for you. He took your place on the cross That's called substitution. He took your place. JJ, can I talk about you a minute? This is JJ. He's Navy SEALs. Very proud of himself to be Navy SEALs. The United States government. He worked for the government. But he didn't know a whole lot about Jesus when I hired him. Neither did Ben. Where's Ben? Where are you, Ben? You're hiding. Where is he? There he is. He was one of those Marines that would stand at the White House guarding the President of the United States. He worked when Reagan was President and Bush, and he's the guy who stood there real nice at the White House. But when I hired him, he was a heathen. He didn't know anything about Jesus, did you, Ben? Wave at me, Ben. No, sir. So now they're both Christians that love the Lord, and oh, they love the Lord. So JJ asked me one day, he said, why did God require blood? He said, I want to know, why does the Bible say that God required the shedding of blood in the Old Testament? I said, great question. I said, JJ, God is holy. And because he's holy, no sinners are allowed in his presence. I said, no different than light and darkness. Darkness and light do not mix. Holiness and sin do not mix either. I said, when the lights come on in a stadium or a room, they expel darkness. When God walks into a room, sinners are expelled. That's why no sinner is allowed in heaven, because he's too holy. I said, he's so holy that his eyes cannot look on sin. In the prophets we read, thou art of purer eyes, not to behold iniquities. He can't even look at sinners. So in the Old Testament, the Bible says, Ezekiel 18:4, the sinner, it says, must die. Why? Because God is too holy. He can't allow sinners to live. Sinners must die, the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But God said to his people Israel, he said, because you are my people, and because you're my covenant people, rather than you dying, an animal has to die in your place before I listen to you. An animal must die in your place before I would look at you. An animal must die in your place before I would answer your prayer. Because I am so holy, the sinner must die. And since you're my people, I will require the death of another. Therefore, an animal had to die before the Jewish people, any Jew, can walk into God's presence. Blood had to be shed before a Jewish man could walk into the presence of God. Even the poor had to shed blood before God would allow them in. But the Bible says the blood of animals cannot remove sins. That's why Jesus came to this earth, the perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God, and he shed his blood in our stead. That's what the word propitiation means, substitution. He became our substitute. We don't have to die because he died in our place.